This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
I'm looking at some prayer warriors today. I'm looking at powerful people that are prayer. Somebody say, I'm a prayer warrior. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you're going to start walking in the grace and the faith of God, you're going to have to learn to pray. Amen. And we've been on in a series of the power of prayer. And we're on part five. Amen. It's been a powerful series. And we are looking at mainly the Lord's Prayer. Amen. And how many people have the Lord's Prayer memorized? I bet you most of you can probably quote it verbatim. Amen. My kids can quote it verbatim. Amen. And it's a powerful prayer. It's good. It's okay to pray that prayer. But what we want to do is take that prayer and break it down in your prayer time. And I'm going to say this. You all need to have a prayer time. You all need to have a place where you're praying every day. Amen? Because I'm telling you, prayer is the key to see God move in your life. Amen? And now let's look at this. This is Luke 11, 1 through 4. It says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those or as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So today I want to focus on, Lord, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Amen. And, you know, I'm going to say this, that as people of God, you're going to be dealing with temptations in your life. Has anybody ever been tempted in here? Okay, I got an affirmative yes. You've been tempted. Amen. And we all get tempted at times in our lives. And who's the tempter? The devil. We're going to find that out, that the devil is the one that tempts us. But there's other things that comes in play in temptations in our life. And let's look at what James has to say about temptation, about temptations. He's in James 1, 13 through 15, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Amen. So we're going to get some key points out of this morning. Number one, God can't be tempted with evil. That's a good thing. Amen. In other words, God, there's nothing crooked in God. God is pure and holy. I like what it says in 1 John 1, 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him no darkness at all. That's awesome. There's no darkness in God. In other words, God's not on one day and off the next. Amen. And God is totally love. Amen. I like what the Amplified puts this verse, talking about that God can't be tempted with evil, talking about the character of God. It says, this is a message of God's promise revelation, which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, he is holy, his message is truthful, he is perfect in righteousness, and in him there's no darkness at all, no sin, no wickedness, no imperfection. Aren't you glad that you serve God and not the devil? Because if we had a description of the devil, we would be in a world of hurts if we were in his kingdom. Amen. But we're not in the devil's kingdom. We're in God's kingdom. We serve a holy God. That's good news today. Amen. Because God's always perfect and right. God's always perfect again and right. He never messes up. Glory to God. And he's never tempted by evil. And now the second point of the scriptures we just read, God does not tempt people with evil. In other words, God's not putting you through the test or the trials in your life. Some people think that everything that comes their way comes from God. And not everything that comes your way, because they go with the sovereignty of God, and so God's in total control. So whatever comes into your life, God is behind it. No, I would say 1,000 times no. Sometimes we open the doors to things, negative things in our lives, and sometimes through our actions, and sometimes the devil just attacks us.
Amen.
Amen. And so we don't want to be attributing whatever pain we're going through as God putting me through this. A lot of people have that kind of theology. Well, God must be putting me through this so he can teach me something. No. That's why the prayer says deliver us from temptation. Amen. And so we want to be delivered from temptation. Amen. Or lead us not in temptation. And so here in the second point, God does not tempt people with evil. Every good gift and every perfect gift, this is James 1:17, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's powerful. That's a powerful verse. So temptation right here, this is telling us that only good things come from God. And temptation is not good because it's designed to make us fall in our own steadfastness. Temptation is designed to get you to sin. That's the reason why the devil is trying to tempt some of us out here. But we're not going to succumb to temptations in our life. And it says also, it says that only good things come from God. God only gives us good things from the throne room, like strength and power to stand against temptations in our life. I like what it says here in Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Sometimes when we're in the process of temptation in our life, we feel weak. Sometimes we feel incapable. We feel like, you know, succumbing to the temptations. But as we call upon the Lord, he will strengthen us and he will help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. God doesn't lead us into evil. He leads us into truth. Can I get a witness in the house today? In John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's not guiding you into sin. He's not guiding you into temptation. He's guiding you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. This is a powerful verse that reveals that God guides us into truth and not deception of evil. This verse also reveals that God will prepare us for the good and the bad and the ugly if we learn to listen to him. Do you believe that God wants to prepare you today? He wants to get you ready for what might be coming down the road. The Holy Spirit revealed things to you. The Holy Spirit revealed things to the Apostle Paul when he was going to Rome, that he would be in chains and be going to jail. And the Apostle Paul already knew some of the things that the devil was planning for him. And God will prepare us for those things. Amen. Number three, temptation comes from a strong desire of the flesh and the devil enticements. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, your body makes a great slave, but a terrible master. In other words, you don't want your body controlling you. You don't want your drives to drive you down the wrong path. Amen. And in Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This is saying that when we're dealing with temptation, it's always working on our flesh. And our flesh is the unrenewed part of us that has a hard time submitting to God. Has anybody ever had a hard time submitting to God out here? Amen. I'm going to raise both hands. Amen. Sometimes we have a hard time submitting our flesh to God. Probably the thing that we really need to submit to the Lord is our tongues. Because it's our tongues that gets us into trouble. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. It's our words. And it's our words. It's loose lips that can sink ships. Amen. And so we got to learn to get a handle and control this flesh, knowing that sometimes it's a constant battle. But I want to encourage you this morning, even though you might be battling some things, stay with God and stay in prayer. And I'm telling you, you're going to come out of all the negative and you're going to come into some positive. Amen. In other words, you're getting better. Somebody say, I'm getting better. So we're supposed to be getting better in this walk in Christ and not worse. Amen. Somebody say, I'm getting better. Amen. And so let's look at another scripture that reveals temptation and sin comes from this. Not only comes from the flesh, but the flesh is how we think. It says here in Romans 8, 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You know, if you're focused on watching a lot of carnal stuff on TV, amen, and you're watching all this fleshy stuff, you're going to walk in the flesh. If you listen to podcasts and they're throwing out the wrong words, like cuss words and things of that nature, you might end up cussing. Is that right? And so because you partake, you give out in what you partake of. Amen. And it says here, for if those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are living according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is why it's so important. Maybe if you're in the house, ladies, if you're in the house, gentlemen, if you're in the house, put on some worship music. Get an atmosphere of the grace of God moving in your house. In other words, keep your mind focused on Jesus. Don't go the way of the flesh. Amen. And so it says here that to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. So to keep temptation from coming our way, our minds must be focused on spiritual things. Can I get a witness in the house today? The Apostle Paul tells us how to think. You know, it's funny that the Bible tells us how to think. And when you get saved, you got to learn to think right. If you think right, you act right. If you act right, then good things will happen. And so I love this in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, don't think about all the negative things that are happening to you. Focus on the good things that God is doing for you in this time. In other words, there's always a silver lining in every cloud. Focus on the silver lining. Glory to God. Start thinking right. Start thinking in line with God's word. And I'm telling you, you will hardly even, there will be very rare temptations coming your way. Number four, temptations acted on bring sin into our lives. So when we act on temptations, it brings sin into our lives. But I have good news for you today. You don't have to submit to temptations that lead to sin in your life. That's good news. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us, gives us an encouraging word. He says here, therefore do not let, in Romans 6, 12 and 14, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members of instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's powerful. So we are alive to God and we're dead to sin. Somebody say, I'm alive to God and I'm dead to sin. Amen. And so you got to reckon your bodies as being dead to sin and alive to God. We have the power not to let sin rule in our lives through the power of choice. I'm going to say again, you have the power to choose every day who you serve. And for me and my household, I'm going to serve the Lord. Can I get a witness in the house today? In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, because God gives us free will. You have free will. And that's amazing because we use our free will to serve God. And we use our free will to serve Him and love Him. And He's going to bless us in eternity for all the love that we show to Him down here. Do you believe that today? Amen. And in Deuteronomy 30, 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both and your descendants may live. You don't have to enter into any temptations because you can say no to temptation and you can say yes to God. Amen. Number two, we have the power to present our bodies to God to do what's right. In Romans 12:1, the Apostle Paul is teaching us. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. So we're supposed to be presenting our bodies to God. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to God. Your body's owned twice over, one by right of creation and two by the blood of Jesus. And so you don't have the right to do whatever you want with your body. It belongs to Jesus. And if you're married, your body belongs to your spouse. Amen. Amen. And so I love that. So we don't want to be, he goes on to say, we don't want to be conformed to the world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. God's grace is greater and empowers us to resist temptation and walk in righteousness. So I'm going to say this, that God gives us grace, amen, to resist temptation when it comes our way. In Romans 6, 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Amen. And then in Romans 5, 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So where temptation may come, God's grace is greater than the temptations that we face in this life. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Can I get a witness in the house today? Say, I'm under God's grace. So God's grace enables us to resist temptation of the devil in our lives. And I love this because it says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Sometimes you need to confess that when you're dealing with temptations in your life. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's do that together. Say this out loud. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So greater is God. God is living on the inside of you. God's grace can strengthen our weaknesses and helps us to overcome the flesh every time. Apostle Paul was dealing with a demonic spirit. that was harassing him, and he prayed to God about it three times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So the Apostle Paul had some demonic problems. He had a demonic spirit that was harassing him, that was buffeting his flesh. And so sometimes when we're serving God, there are spirits that will try to work against us. Can I get a witness in the house today? If you're trying to do anything for God, there's going to be sometimes the devil's going to unleash some spirits against you. See, you didn't have any problems. You know, a lot of times before you got saved, you had no problems. It's only when you get saved you got problems. Have you ever noticed that? Why? Why do you have more problems? Why does it seem like you have more lust after you get saved than before you get saved? Before you got saved, you were in the devil's camp. He didn't need to work on you. But when you get saved, now he has to work on you. Now he has to move on your flesh. Now he has to try to get you to move in the arena of sin. So when you start walking with God, there's the warfare. The war begins. Has anybody noticed that? And so I like this. And so Paul was praying about this spirit that was buffeting him. He's called it a thorn in his flesh. And the Lord revealed some truth to him. When we're under attack, and when the enemy's trying to get us to fall into temptation, we need to pray and ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God to show us, is there anything we're doing to open the door for temptation to come into our life? We need to get some revelation and some wisdom from God. Amen. And this is what the Lord says to Paul. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. There most assuredly I most gladly would rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul was the fact that he understood that he was weak in his own power, but he was strong in God. The takeaway is this: we're weak in ourselves, but if we put ourselves in God's hands, we can be made strong. Amen? None of us are strong in our own selves. That's why the Bible says be strong in the Lord. You can't be strong in yourself. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. And so you take on the Lord's strength. Amen? I love that. Let's look at another scripture pertaining to temptation here. And this is a powerful scripture. And it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with a temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Let me give you some strong points about this scripture here. All temptation we deal with is common. This is powerful, the truth right here. In other words, the devil can't use anything supernatural to try to deceive you. It's all in the natural realm. The temptations we deal with is common. Amen? So the devil has no supernatural tricks that he can do to destroy your life. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says here, "So Satan will not outsmart us," New Living Translation, "for we are familiar with his evil schemes." So I'm going to say this: the devil can't outsmart you if you stay in the Word and stay in prayer. And the devil's trying to outsmart some of us, amen? But we are not ignorant of his devices against us and their natural devices. And we have supernatural weapons on our side, amen? God's faithfulness enables us to escape the second point, God's faithfulness enables us to escape every temptation that we face. Amen. I'm going to say it again. God's faithfulness enables us to escape every temptation. That word "every" kind of makes you nervous, right? In other words, you don't have to fall into the temptations that lead you to sin. His faithfulness will help us. Listen, in Psalms 34:17, it says this way: "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of some of their troubles, out of all of their troubles." God can deliver us from temptation to if we don't bow down to the world's ways. Amen. This is another point. I want to talk about a story in Daniel. These three Hebrew slaves that were in high positions with the king. King Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden statue. And sometimes we may have a temptation to bow to the world's ways. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they stood firm in their faith, standing with God. And there's always going to be somebody that's going to tell off on you. I'm going to say that again. There's always going to be somebody. The king set up a statue, and these three Hebrews, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the statue, when it was erected, when they played the music, everybody was supposed to bow down to it. You know the story. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego would not bow down. And so now let's pick up the story here. It says there's, and now there's the people in the providence of the kingdom know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not obeying these orders. And they're talking to the king here. They said, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. See, the devil's going to try to get you to bow down to the world's ways. But we're not going to bow down to the world's ways. We're going to keep bowing down to God. In verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, enraged and fury, gave the commandment to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Now Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you're ready at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Think about that. So you know, think about this predicament here. You have these men that want to honor God, and the king is giving them a second chance to bow down. And you know what? I'm telling you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were firm in their faith in serving God, and they weren't going to sidestep God for their lives. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case of a God whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You know, the Bible says that there's going to be a day in the end days where you might be taken before people, before the courts. You might be thrown in prison. And the Bible says that God will give you, it says, do you know how to answer when people come against you? And the Bible says that God will give you the words to say at that time. And I'm telling you, God gave them the words to say that, you know, that they weren't going to bow down. And I love this because I love it. Psalms 138:3. It says, in the day we cry out, you answer me and made me bold with strength in my soul. God wants us walking in boldness towards the enemies of God. Amen. And so what happened? Well, in Daniel 3:20, the king commanded that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego be thrown in the fiery furnace. And I'm not going to read the entire account of it, but basically they got thrown in, but King Nebuchadnezzar saw three men thrown in, but he saw a fourth man. And that fourth man looked like the Son of God. So whenever we're in the fires of life, amen, and we're doing the right things, Jesus will be in the fires of life with us. Do you believe that today? And the Bible says that he called them out, and not even their clothes was touched with fire. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And then they got promoted in the kingdom. Whenever the devil tries to bring you down, you stand your ground, keep standing for God, and he will lift you up. You got to believe that. No matter what the devil's trying to do, God will lift you up. You just got to pray and cry out in that day, like Psalms 138:3, in a day when I cry out, you answered me and made me bold in my strength and in my soul, glory to God. Now we're dealing with these temptations, and these temptations are common. And I want to just focus a couple more minutes on these temptations this morning. And it's in John 2, 15 and 17. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and its lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So here, these are powerful. This is a powerful scripture saying that we don't want to love the world. We want to love God. Amen. Amen. We may be in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. Amen. We are in a new kingdom. So we don't want to love the world system and the way the world does things. And he says here, there are three key temptations that we deal with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are the key temptations that every person deals with. Jesus dealt with it when he was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. He dealt with all three lusts, all three of these temptations. In Matthew 4:1-4, this is the temptation of flesh. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came and he said, "If you are the Son of God," because the devil is always trying to make you prove who you are. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answers and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so what was the devil trying to do? Get Jesus to use his power to turn stones into bread, which I believe Jesus could have done. Amen. And the bottom line is that the devil was working on his lust of his flesh to get him out of the fast that God had him in. So the devil will try to move on your flesh. Amen. But Jesus was intent to go the whole way with the Lord. Temptation number two is the lust of the eyes. Have you ever heard this saying, "My eyes are bigger than my stomach"? Have you? That's after you overate a big meal, right? And you said, "My eyes are bigger than my stomach." I said that the other day when I overate. Amen. And so sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomach. Amen. And here it says here in Matthew 4:8-10, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to him, "All these things I've given you if you fall down and worship me." The devil wants you to worship. He wants you to worship him, doesn't he? And he wanted Jesus to worship him. And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." But see, he showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world. The devil showed him the kingdoms of the world. And he was saying that you could have all these kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. He was trying to give him eye candy that day. Have you ever, you know what I'm talking about, eye candy, amen? And so Jesus resisted the temptation of looking at all the good, because Jesus was going to get the kingdoms anyway. Jesus was going to be ruling and reigning over the kingdoms anyway. And what the devil was saying is, you can have a shortcut. You don't have to go the way of the cross. You can just bow to me and I will give you the kingdoms. Because it was given to Satan. It was a bona fide temptation. Satan could have gave it back. Amen. But Jesus said, "No way, Jose. No way, Jose. I'm not going that way." Amen. Jesus was intent to go to the cross and to get it God's way. And you got to be intent to do it God's way and not the devil's way. In other words, there's no shortcuts in God. Can I get a witness now today? And then the last temptation is the pride of life. The devil took him up into the holy, Matthew 4, 5, and 6, to a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands you shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus overcame these temptations, and I'm going to give you a clue this morning. Jesus wasn't operating in his full deity when he was down here on earth. He was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the reason why he had to be an acceptable sacrifice. He wasn't walking in the fullness of his deity. He laid down his God powers and he submitted himself to the Father and to the Holy Ghost. And if he was able to do that, being submitted to the Father and the Holy Ghost, we can do the same things. The works that I do, you will do, and greater works, because I go to my Father in heaven. And that's what Jesus said. Amen. The last temptation I want to focus on this morning, and this is a temptation that I believe everybody deals with. Have you ever had the temptation to quit? People that are married, have you ever thought about quitting marriage? It's like they asked Ruth Graham if she ever thought about divorcing her husband. And because he traveled all the time. Billy Graham was a minister that traveled, an evangelist. And she said, "I never thought about divorcing him. Murder, yes. Divorce, no." Amen. Sometimes we want to murder our spouses. Have you been there? Just keep looking straight ahead. Amen. I'm looking at holy saints this morning. Glory to God. And so never divorce, maybe murder. Amen. And so what am I saying to you today? I'm saying there's going to be times where we want to quit, where we want to give up, where we want to just let go. Have you ever been there? I've been there every once in a while where I just feel like quitting. Amen. And I like what it says in Luke 18:1. "And he spoke a parable unto them and said to this end, that men always ought to pray and not faint." Amen. In other words, we ought to always pray and never give up. Glory to God. And so I love that, because let me give you some scriptures about staying in the fight this morning. And we're closing down on these scriptures. It says here, "Let us not grow weary," Galatians 6:9. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In other words, if you keep staying in the fight, you will eventually see the blessings of God in your life. In Hebrews 10:35-36, it says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So here, this scripture is saying, don't cast away the confidence that you have in God, that he will answer your prayer. Sometimes when we pray prayers and we don't see them being answered immediately, it makes us want to quit praying. Is that true? I'm just going to give up on that. You know, I guess God doesn't want it to happen, you know. Well, you know, let me give you a story, and let me give you my last scripture. "Do not become sluggish, but imitate those," Hebrews 6:12, "through faith and patience inherit the promises." I'm getting out of my seat now. Glory to God. So it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. It's going to take a process of time for everything to come to pass in our lives. It's just not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be instant success. It's going to be a process, and you're going to have to learn to wait on the process in prayer before you see God move. My mom prayed for the salvation of the family, and it took 10 years, and all the family got saved, but it was a 10-year process. She prayed, I believe, in 77, and we all got saved in 86. All her kids came to salvation in 86. 10 years. Can somebody say a decade? Wow. Can you stay faithful in prayer for a decade? My mom prayed us into the kingdom. Amen. Don't thank me when I preach good messages. Thank my mom. She's the one that prayed for me and kept me going. Even when one time I came home drunk before I was saved, and my dad said, are you on drugs? I was a hot mess. Before Jesus got in my life. Anybody know what was a hot mess before Jesus got in your life? How many people are still a hot mess today? God's getting you out of being a hot mess. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God I don't touch the booze anymore. Amen. I don't go with JD. I go with JC. Amen. No more Jack Daniels for me. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I love this because Elijah was a man of faith. And the Bible says in the New Testament, it talks about Elijah. And it talks about Elijah being a man like us. And Elijah was a man like us, but he was anointed by God. And I'm going to say this, you might be just a natural person, but you're anointed by God. And so there was a drought, a 3-year drought of no rain where Elijah was. And Elijah was going to pray for the rain to come. And Elijah in 1 Kings 18, 41-44, and you think about this man, a great man of faith and power that walks in miracles, you think that his prayer should be answered instantaneously. But here we're going to read that it took some time. It says here that Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there, Ahab was the king at that time. There's a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went onto the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. He was praying when he put his face between his knees. He was praying for rain. Go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he told his servant to go up there. And the servant said to look, see if there's any clouds for rain. And the servant said, there is nothing. And he said seven times, he said, go again. And it came to pass on the seventh time that there the cloud, a small man's hand, rising up from the sea. So he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare the chariot and go down before the rain stops you. So this is powerful. Elijah spoke and declared an abundance of rain. Whatever you believe in God for, start speaking it into existence. Start believing that God will cause it to come to pass. I'm coming out of debt. I'm coming into prosperity, glory to God. I'm coming out of sickness. I'm coming into health, glory to God. I'm coming out of depression, and I'm coming into joy, glory to God. Start speaking it. And he declared there was going to be an abundance of rain. Then Elijah bowed down, prayed earnestly to God for rain. Elijah instructed his servant to go down to look towards the sea. And the first result, no results. And then Elijah says, go back the second time. And the second time, no results. And then Elijah said, well, go back the third time. Go back to the sea and see if you see anything in the sky. And the third time, no results. Well, by time, the fourth time went around, no results. Some of us would have gave up. The fifth time, no results. The sixth time, no results. Amen. It finally came seven times. He wore out his servant, by the way. His servant had to keep going to the top of the mountain every time. His servant said, again, again. And finally, you know, his servant was probably more happy to see the cloud than Elijah because he was so dead tired of walking up the hill to find this cloud. And he said, there is a little cloud, and it's the size of a man's hand. This tells me two things here, glory to God. Our persistent prayers can cause God's hand of blessing to move in our lives. The cloud representing God's hand. And number two, our uplifted hands in expectation can cause God to move on our behalves. So that hand-sized cloud represents God's hand. And I'm going to say this to you today. God's hand is not so short that he cannot come down into our life and help us and bring past the promises that we're believing him for. Amen? Glory to God. I'm going to say this. The Bible says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And I love that for everyone who asks, receives, they who seek, finds, they that knock, the doors will be open. I'm going to say this today. Maybe you're not seeing the fullness of your prayers being answered. I'm going to say keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and you will see that cloud of God's hand come into your life. And I'm calling it out to you, an abundance of rain, of blessings for each one of you. I believe it. You need to just receive it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you, oh, that you are moving by your Spirit. I thank you, Father God, oh, that no temptation that is common to man, but you're faithful. You will always make a way of an escape. And I thank you, Lord God, no temptation, trial, or test can bring any of us down. And perhaps you're here in the audience, you're maybe watching this broadcast, and you never made a decision for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, today is a day of salvation, and I want to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Jesus as Lord. Just say this out loud and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you live here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home so you can be a part of that, so you can grow in your faith and become all that God's called you to be.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.